Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Some years the corn is knee-high by now. Other years it feels like you're up to your knees in water. Farmers and producers in southeast South Dakota especially are dealing with wet conditions and flooded fields. SDPB's Brad Van Osdell has been talking with people impacted by the somewhat wild spring weather. He joins us now from SDPB's studios in Vermilion. Hey, Brad, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, thanks, Lori. Good to be here.
I know I can't mow my grass because I have an electric mower. It's just not dry enough, and you don't
exactly
want to take
right.
that chance.
That's right.
So I'm starting to regret that purchase. But most people have a lot more going on than just a wet backyard like I do. What are we looking at in southeast South Dakota right now?
You know, what we're looking at is it was an extremely wet spring. You know, if you remember back, there were three blizzards in April, which is unusual.
Right.
So all the crops got in a pretty good amount of time, no problems getting planted, and things were looking really good. And then in June, within a one-week period, a week ago, some places got up to 12 to 13 inches. The family that I interviewed, the Petricks, they had 11 and a half inches of rain in a week.
Wow.
So, you know, for their ground that they farm, it's pretty much saturated with water now.
All right, so we're not looking at a river that's taken over. It's
right.
just that the ground itself is done.
Exactly. Now, obviously, rivers have, in other parts of southeastern South Dakota, you know, the Big Sioux and the Vermilion River have broken their banks, and that's causing flooding for farmers as well. But this particular case, when you get to the Vermilion, to the city of Vermilion, over to Yankton, and around the Gayville area, all that ground is just, the water has really nowhere to go because it's flat, and it just is so saturated.
All right, before we hear a little bit from the Petricks, tell me a little bit about their operation.
The farm's been in the family since 1948, and Jim and Sharon farm corn, soybeans, alfalfa. They run 50 to 60 head of cattle, and they also raise purebred hogs and then some commercial sale hogs. So they're really diversified, and I know the Petricks pretty well. They're also into, you know, a lot of the newer technologies, so pretty good farmers.
All right, let's hear a little bit of Jim Petrick here describing what the last few weeks have been like.
And a half inches, and we'd been having a wet spring up to that point in time, but we'd really been fortunate to kind of avoid that really big backbreaker, but we've certainly got caught up in that regard in the last week here. It kind of depends on the lay of the land, you know, it's feast or famine down here sometimes on this river bottom where a lot of us farm down here along Highway 50, but if you happen to be fortunate to have a parcel that's close to some pretty good surface drainage, you know, the water is moving again today, and kind of people are feeling upbeat. And there's other places in the community where, you know, maybe it's a piece of land that's extraordinarily flat, or maybe some of the drainage hasn't been as well maintained over the years, or maybe it's just a piece of property that everybody else's water has to cross in order to get to a ditch or to the river. And unfortunately, there's some pieces of ground around here that are still super wet, and the water doesn't seem to be moving off them very fast.
You're listening to Jim Petrick there, and SDPB's Brad Van Osdell is in the studios in Vermilion. So what options do they have at this point, Brad?
Well, Jim was saying that if it does dry out enough, you know, in this next week, there is the possibility of replanting some soybeans. It's too late for corn. But the problem with planting soybeans is then you have to have a fall season where the frost comes late, so that's a gamble in itself there. They're hoping that a lot of their crops can dry out enough that, you know, they're going to survive. He did say that any alfalfa that he has pretty much is going to drown out and die. You know, Jim said his water is going off and going down on his land, but there are other farmers within 2 miles that some of the land, it looks like a lake. There's 80 acres at my brother's farm that is totally under about 6 inches of water. And the water just has nowhere to go because there, it's kind of what Jim said. It's a place where everybody's water goes or has to cross. And the drainage ditch where that water's headed is probably already full. and it just takes a while for the water to make its way out, you know, when you're in the flatlands like that. So it's a difficult thing for them to, you know, not see progress. Water moves pretty slow when it's a flat ground.
And we'll have some pictures for you up on our website after the program at listen.sdpb.org. And Brad, a digital short coming online as well here with a little bit of this. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, you are correct. It's actually up on South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Facebook page already today.
All right. Let's hear a little bit more from Jim Petrick. Here he is talking a little bit about what's ahead for him and his family.
We'd like to think that maybe 40% of our crop would still be kind of in a position to maybe make pretty normal yields. And, you know, we've got another 40% that would probably, you know, need things to go extraordinarily well to kind of be an asset to the farm. And we've got about 20%. You know, our alfalfa ground is pretty well kaput right now. It looks like it's starting to change color and it's got a lot of water standing on it. So I think it's probably done for. And we've got some soybeans that, you know, frankly, if the sun would shine and the wind could blow and we could go in and replant in a week, you know, we would probably have a fair chunk of soybean acres we'd probably still try to take another run at. Let's say we have a couple hundred acres of soybeans that are gone. You know, you still have to control the weeds on that parcel or those parcels, and you still have to kind of try to get it in a situation where it can be prepared for next year. And really the best way to do that is to raise a crop on it. But we get much past the 4th of July and even if you raise a soybean crop in there, like you said, Brad, I mean, you know, an early frost could leave you with, you know, a lot of bushels of sub-quality beans that are, you know, maybe green or maybe damaged that somebody doesn't want to buy or what have you too. So it needs to happen pretty quickly if it's going to happen, that's for sure. Our crop this year, even where it looks good, the root system is tremendously shallow on it at this point in time because it's just never had to go look for moisture. And so we're hoping for some warm days to keep our growing degrees adding up. And we need a stretch of dry weather to force this crop to seek moisture and seek nutrients and root down, because right now it would be so fragile if we had a high wind situation or whatever, just because the root system is so underdeveloped. And the longer this water stands on a lot of this crop ground, it almost has the effect of almost pruning the roots, because we force all the oxygen out of the soil and it really stunts the root development. And so we need a stretch of drying weather here, and then we want to kind of go hand to mouth on the moisture the rest of the way out, if in a perfect world anyway.
And Brad, I'm wondering, you mentioned cattle and hogs that they have. I'm wondering how this wet weather, you know, in the region is really impacting that part of the operation for farmers and producers.
That's a great question. You know, Jim and I talked about that a little bit. He doesn't run a lot of cattle, but he has 50 head and some pasture. And he said the frustrating thing is, you know, the cattle can't find anywhere dry to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and it's not that it's, you know, a big lake there for the cattle, but the ground is so wet that they're always walking in wet grass. And so he said that's, you know, that's hard on the cattle. It's hard on calves. You know, he says he has a few late spring calves, and it's been impossible to work them, to vaccinate them, because you can't get out to the pasture to round them up and catch them to vaccinate. So the big thing with hogs is, You can't spread manure when there's water like this, and so that kind of gets to be somewhat of a concern for farmers that have, you know, hogs, because they need to get that manure, you know, out of the pit and spread out in the fields.
And what about just delivering and driving and some of those roads? Any problems that they're seeing there?
Yeah, and that's a great question too. His son and him were trying to get some corn out of the grain bins and take it to town. And they have to go, he said, to find the roads that you can go on is almost, you know, like a maze. Because not just because road closures, but a big truck full of corn, you know, it's going to sink. Big semi full of corn is going to sink on some of those gravel roads. So, yeah, it's an adventure all the way around for him.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about how people sort of manage. This is a stressful a really stressful time. We heard in the news right before the program started today about, you know, people's concerns about tariffs, and now you have these big concerns about weather. How do folks kind of cope and support one another?
And that's a great question. I mean, they told me a story. It was last Sunday. They had to deliver some hogs. He raises breeding stock as well, so he was going to go to Minnesota with just a few hogs. So they jump in the pickup with the trailer, and I think it was a way for them to get away from the farm. You know,
right.
Even though there would be a lot of water on the way, they could get away from their water, their troubles. Well, long story short, they made it, turned around, and as any farmer, as Jim is, you always want to go a different way home. You know, you always want to see the country. And they couldn't cross the Big Sioux River in three places, finally got across the Big Sioux River, and then took the Wakanda Road, and then that was closed. So it took them what should have been 2.5 hour trip. He said it took, you know, 4 or 5 hours to get home. But, you know, that to them, they turned it into a funny story. You know, that's something you laugh at, and
right.
That relieves the stress. And I think that's the main point, at least with the Petrix, with Jim and Sharon, is if you can keep upbeat and you can find things to laugh at or help other people that have it worse than you, then that helps relieve your own stress and your own worries.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit from Sharon and Jim Petrick now talking about just that.
Well, it helps to have some pretty thick skin and a good sense of humor and some good friends to keep your spirits up.
Sharon often says to me, why do you stress about the things you can't control? And I mean, frankly, we try to manage the variables that we can manage the best we can. And once we get that under control, the next thing to worry about is the stuff that we can't control. And so, it's been a challenging spring for sure. I guess like Monday night when it was raining cats and dogs, we watched three kind of silly, funny old movies back to back to back. And it does, it feels good to laugh. It feels good to talk to somebody. But you got to, or it'll eat you up, that's for sure.
People I work with and people that we tend to socialize with and other farmers, it all helps to just have somebody to talk to and have some fun with once in a while. Well, it's always a good idea to remember the things that you have to be thankful for and to drive around your community, look around and check out the news and see, you know, whose house is flooded or, you know, people south of us are putting sandbags around their house. And, you know, my friend's 84-year-old mom's house in Yankton basement is flooded. So they were helping her all day. So I offered to help. If you drive around, you talk to people, you look around, you can see that somebody always has it worse than you do. And yeah, this isn't fun. It'd be better if it was perfect weather all the time and we could get our work done and we could have a great crop. But it doesn't always work out that way.
Wise words from Sharon Petrick there,
yeah,
Brett.
Exactly.
What's the long-term impact of an event like this in your experience?
If, you know, Jim talked about a little bit, but in the interview talked about more, is that, you know, right now, they don't want any more big rains, obviously.
Right.
But it can't go to a drought either. So they want they want just enough rain, you know, to keep the crop going. And they'll hope for the best. And if the markets are good, which you brought up tariffs, which we don't know where the markets are going to be at, and they persevere and they go forward. And it did rain a little bit this last weekend. I didn't talk to Jim, but I heard it rained about a half inch in the Gayville area. So I imagine that didn't help. But as I was driving over here, things are looking better. The water is going down. So.
All right. And you can go online to SDPB's Facebook page now, see a digital short of some of this flooding and wet fields in southeast South Dakota. SDPB's Brad Van Ostel, thank you so much for being here today. This is really fascinating stuff. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on. It was great.